Welcome to Come and Reason with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Tim Jennings. Together we will reason through complex issues to find evidence-based answers that harmonize scripture, science, and our life experiences. I'm your Come and Reason host, Charles Mills. This program is sponsored by Come and Reason Ministries. Welcome, everyone. Have you ever thought to yourself, I sure wish that Dr. Jennings would come to my home, sit down with me, and read to me a chapter or two from one of his amazing books? That would just make my day. Well, consider your day made, because on our program today, Dr. Jennings will read to us all selected sections from his book, Could It Be This Simple? A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind, from Autumn House Publishing. This is the book that launched it all, his first of many. The entire book is available in this audiobook format on the comeandreason.com website. But for now, enjoy this virtual visit from our very own Dr. J. Let's listen.
The mind is an intricately complex bioelectric supercomputer. And just like the computers we buy in stores, the mind has both hardware and software. The term hardware refers to the actual physical components from which a computer is built. The hard drive, the video card, the network card, etc. The hardware that forms our mental computer is the brain tissue itself, with all its billions of neurons or nerve cells. But hardware is not enough for a computer to function. It must also have software, or programming. A computer must have an operating system, a framework of rules to direct its functioning. Microsoft Windows would be an example of such an operating system. The brain comes with hardware or hardwiring that genetically programmed it with certain features that make it ready to receive an operating system. The operating system gets installed or instilled during childhood and constantly undergoes modification throughout life. The language we speak, the God we worship, our beliefs, values, morals, how we play and interact with others are all part of this complex operating system. But hardware and software are still not enough for a computer to work. It must also have an energy source. If the energy source is faulty, glitches and short circuits can occur in the operation of the computer. The energy source for our brain is the blood that brings nutrients and takes away waste. If something interferes with reliable and consistent blood flow, or if the blood itself is unhealthy, then the function of the brain suffers. Understanding this principle helps us recognize the benefits of a healthy lifestyle. We all know that store-bought computers can have problems with hardware, or software, or both. The question hotly debated in psychiatry is whether mental illness results from hardware issues, genetic or structural brain problems, or software difficulties, problems in the operating system, in what or how we think, or both. Further complicating this uncertainty is the entire field of religion and spirituality. What role do spiritual beliefs play in the functioning of the mind? Traditionally, psychiatrists have considered religious beliefs to be, at best, outdated coping strategies, and at worst, a mass delusion. Such devaluing of religion was extremely personally frustrating because many of my professors persistently and subtly attacked my religious beliefs. They suggested that an enlightened individual would not need to cling to religious superstition. However, as a good scientist, I would not allow the criticism of others to close my mind to an arena of potential information without first investigating the evidence and drawing my own conclusion. Therefore, my residency became not only a time to study psychiatry, but also a time for deep introspection and investigation of my lifelong religious convictions. I am extremely thankful to my professors for not allowing me to simply proclaim positions as true without supporting them with evidence and a well-thought-out rationale. Such an approach was the key to unifying the many contradictions in psychiatry, the key to understanding the mind. The more I studied psychiatry while simultaneously exploring the spiritual nature of human beings, the more clearly I could see a grand design that was beautiful and harmonious. But despite the fact I was finding answers where traditional psychiatry feared to tread, most of my professors and many mental health professionals continued to hold the position that religious belief doesn't belong in the legitimate practice of psychiatry, that scientific understanding has eliminated the need for God. Many cling to the position of Sigmund Freud, who described belief in God as a societal neurosis and called for intellectual understanding to remove the need for such a belief. Others, who identify themselves as neuropsychiatrists, consider mental illness a result of chemical imbalance in the brain and contend that appropriate treatment is simply a matter of finding the proper combination of medications to restore normal brain chemistry. In other words, some healthcare providers focus exclusively on the hardware while ignoring the software. With the above considerations in mind, I realized that the most reasonable next step in my journey was to seek the answers to several basic questions. Do our beliefs matter? Can they really affect us? Does our software actually make a difference? Or are we merely genetically programmed or hardwired to be the way we are? Can we, by changing what we think or the way we think, affect our physical and mental health? Thus, I began to search for evidence to answer such complex questions. In his book, Timeless Healing, The Power and Biology of Belief, Dr. Benson documents in considerable detail the scientific data demonstrating that what we believe can significantly influence our physical health. Dr. Benson describes how he and his colleague, Dr. David McCauley, Jr., documented an extensive list of various treatments designed to alleviate angina pectoris, the chest pain associated with decreased blood flow to the heart. Their investigation discovered that, in the recent past, physicians have treated angina pectoris with unconventional methods, such as injecting cobra venom, and unnecessary surgeries, such as removing the thyroid or part of the pancreas. Although the medical community does not consider such methods as actually providing any physiologic benefits, Dr. Benson and McCauley identified some extremely interesting results. Such methods were effective for 70 to 90% of those patients who believed the interventions would work. When science eventually proved such treatments bogus, the rate dropped to 30 to 40%. These and many similar experiments demonstrate that the mind exerts an overwhelming power over the body, and that what we believe can result in physical ailments or cures. The software does affect the hardware. What we think actually has a powerful impact on our physical bodies. Do our beliefs affect our mental health? More important, do spiritual beliefs alter mental health? Numerous experiences have convinced me of the important role that spiritual beliefs play in our overall mental health. During the fall of 1990, the United States and several of its allies had been gathering forces in the Middle East to prepare for an inevitable response to the invasion of Kuwait by Saddam Hussein's Iraqi forces. By February 1991, the anticipated assault on Iraqi forces in Kuwait seemed imminent. Because military experts were convinced that Iraq would employ its arsenal of chemical and biological weapons, they had predicted as many as 80,000 U.S. casualties during the campaign. President George Bush had issued a deadline for Iraq to withdraw from Kuwait, and as the hours for invasion drew near, the tension increased. As a commander of an M1A1 Abrams battle tank, Sergeant Jones managed one of the most powerful military vehicles in the world and was assigned to one of the armored divisions preparing to invade Iraq. While his military skills had earned him a large measure of respect among his colleagues, his strong Christian beliefs had also provided him a reputation throughout his entire battalion as a person of God. With final preparations for invasion underway, Sergeant Jones asked his battalion chaplain for a container of sacred oil to anoint his tank. Using the oil, Sergeant Jones made a series of small crosses around the entire perimeter of his vehicle's hull and dedicated himself, his men, and his tank to God. Among his prayers, he asked that God would not only protect him and his men in the approaching battle, but that he would also use him in a mighty way. Shortly thereafter, Jones's company commander discovered that his radio was no longer operational. Because it was absolutely necessary that the company commander have a fully functioning radio to receive orders from battalion command, as well as to direct the rest of the units in his company, he ordered Sergeant Jones to give up his radio. Realizing that he would be essentially deaf on the battlefield and far more vulnerable, Jones attempted to refuse this order. Threatened with arrest and court-martial, he reluctantly surrendered his radio to his company commander. Further complications arose when, after darkness fell and the soldiers mounted their vehicles to begin the invasion, Sergeant Jones discovered that his night vision equipment had ceased to operate. Alarmed that he and his tank comrades would be deaf and blind on the battlefield, Sergeant Jones promptly requested permission to withdraw. His superiors denied it. Although Sergeant Jones's tank could no longer fire with accuracy, as he would be unable to distinguish friend from foe, he could still draw enemy fire away from those tanks that still could locate targets. Almost immediately after the invasion began, Sergeant Jones's company engaged the enemy and found themselves enveloped in fire from multiple sources. Tank, mortar, artillery, helicopter gunship. The night was ablaze with thunderous noise and exploding shells, vehicles, and the screams of injured men. Several units in Sergeant Jones's company received hits. His entire crew feared that death was imminent. 4 years after his service in Operation Desert Storm, Sergeant Jones visited my office seeking help with a variety of problems. Nightmares, flashbacks, anxiety, sleep difficulty, relationship problems, tension, inability to concentrate, irritability, work problems, and depression. During the course of several sessions, I became well acquainted with Sergeant Jones. What was important in his life? What motivated him to action? And how his Desert Storm experiences had affected him. His core conflict centered on the belief that God had let him down. By his fourth session, I felt comfortable enough to present a series of statements that I believe summarized his Desert Storm experiences and that were essential to his overcoming the trauma of unresolved wartime experiences. You were a Christian. You made a public display of your Christianity. You put oil crosses all over your tank and dedicated yourself, your tank, and your men to God. You went into battle blind and deaf. And when your company came under attack, several other units were hit, but not one bullet, shell, or piece of shrapnel damaged your tank. After he had acknowledged each statement as true, I concluded, "Your Desert Storm experiences remind me of Daniel's experience in the lion's den." The man's eyes opened wide, his jaw dropped, and the realization was immediate. With his head in his hands, he sat sobbing for several minutes. When he left my office that day, he took with him a new outlook on life. Soon afterward, when I contacted him for follow-up, Jones informed me that his attitude toward life was so much improved that he saw no need for further sessions. 18 months later, he, on his own initiative, shared with me his continued success. The nightmares and flashbacks had stopped, his sleep was normal, his anxiety and depression had remitted, and he had discontinued all medications. Having received an honorable discharge from the Army, he had completed his degree in education and had begun his new career teaching high school. His relationship with his wife was stronger than ever, and he was an active elder in his local church. What had made the difference? Sergeant Jones had believed a lie. He had concluded that God had failed to answer his prayer, that the Lord had let him down. Now he realized the truth, that God had miraculously answered his prayer. It was the change in this belief that resulted in his recovery. Spiritual issues do matter. They are an integral part of our experience and must be included in our understanding and treatment practices.
Wow, you've been listening to selected portions from the book, Could It Be This Simple? A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind, read by its author, Dr. Timothy Jennings. In future programs, we will play more of these recordings, so you can look forward to that. You can also enjoy the entire audiobook at commonreason.com website. Be sure to check it out. A lot of good resources are available there at that website as well. Dr. Jennings' other books, as well as podcasts, television programs, Bible studies to help you on your journey of discovery as you find your beliefs and see how they affect your everyday life. That's all at comeandreason.com. This program was sponsored by Come and Reason Ministries. Thanks for joining us today. Until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, wishing you God's presence in your life. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for spending time with us today. To continue the journey, I urge you to visit comeandreason.com. Here you'll find many excellent resources to help you gain a deeper understanding of the God we all love and serve. That's at comeandreason.com. This is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, inviting you to join us the next time we come and reason together.